Our scripture reading for today is from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. This can be found on page 737 of your pew Bibles. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them, watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them reclined at the table, and will come and wait for them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, as we join together in prayer this morning, we pray that the scriptures would be open in our minds and hearts. Hebrews teaches us that the Bible is sharper and active, and we pray that it would do its work in our lives this morning. I pray that as your vessel, that you would speak through me, Father, and that all glory would be to Jesus today. For we ask this in your name. Amen. I remember walking in the high school for the very first time, and if you remember that, it was quite overwhelming. Everything was huge and new. And I can remember walking into the cafeteria for the first time, and what Newcastle had on the wall at that time, at least, there were different sections that they gave each senior class to paint. It was supposed to be something that was inspired by the class. And so there were all of these previous drawings on the wall, these big, huge pieces of art. And every 4 years, one would get erased. And that's the way that they would sort of keep a legacy going, but also give some voice to the new class to make a little mark. And I could remember one in particular from the seniors that year. It said, there are things known, and there are things not known, and in between, there are the doors. Well, that's about the in-between time. It's about the meantime. And this portion of scripture deals directly with what we're living in right now, the in-between time or the meantime. And so Jesus gives us in this parable simple ways to wait, simple ways to act in the meantime. And they're pretty straightforward for us. They're pretty simple, but they're very powerful because this can be a very confusing time, the in-between time. Jesus was here, Jesus is resurrected, and we're waiting for Jesus to return. So a lot of times we get confused on how to act in the in-between time. But Jesus here gives a simple parable that I think could help us. The first thing is, if you look at your Bible in the first two verses, we read, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight. And be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the doors to him when he comes and knocks. So how are we supposed to wait? Well, the first thing we learn is we're supposed to anticipate and prepare. We are supposed to anticipate and prepare. What does Jesus say? He says, be dressed and ready. Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. If you have a Bible that's King James Version, you will find the words, gird up your loins. It's not something that we naturally use anymore in our society today. For example, I didn't hear anyone in the lobby using those phrases, gird up your loins. If somebody is using those these days, we would scratch our heads and wonder what's going on. But back when the King James Bible was written, it was easily understood because when Jesus was telling this parable, people wore robes. Men wore robes. And in fact, still in the Middle East, a lot of men do wear robes. Well, gird up your loins was just a visual to be ready. In other words, it was take that long garment and cinch it up. Have it ready, because if it's not, then you can't sprint. You can't really run. It's going to hold you up. So gird up your loins just means gather everything up, hold it, maybe tie a knot in it, so if something happens, you're ready to go. I think of the parable of the son when he was coming home and the father went out to meet him. You know, he ran out there to meet his son. He had to do this when he was meeting his son. And so it was common in that time, in those days, to do those kinds of things. Unfortunately for us, because we're detached from that culture, a lot of times this is lost. But the point here that Jesus is emphasizing is live in a way where you are anticipating and prepare yourselves for this return. He gives a very simple analogy in verse 36. He talks about a wedding feast. And notice he says, be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may be immediately opening the doors to him when he comes and knocks. I'm not sure if you've ever been to a wedding that has lasted more than one day, but I can tell you the old traditional style Greek weddings last for not just one day, not just 2 days, but 3 days. There's the pre-wedding party, there's the wedding day party, and then there's the recovery party the next day. That's how it usually goes. Again, we lose that custom in America because we usually have everything in one day. When Jesus was telling this parable, these wedding feasts went on. It was a celebration. They weren't worried about things beginning and ending that day. So it makes more sense when you understand when he says, I want you to be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast. When is he going to return? Well, I do lots of weddings, and I know exactly what's going to happen. You know, sometimes more than others, depending on the mothers giving schedules out. You know, at 9:02, you're going to blink. At 9:03, you're going to breathe. At 9:05, you're going to take 2 steps forward. That's happened before. It never works, but those are the things that sort of happen on your wedding day. But you've been to weddings. You know that there's sort of a schedule, no matter how rigid it is that day. They're generally following a schedule. Once the wedding is over, we're taking pictures. And then after pictures, there's cleanup. Then they're going to be at the reception hall at this time. Yes, they're a few minutes late, but you know, generally speaking, they're going to be there in that window. Well, this was a little bit different. And so Jesus is saying, if you're going to be waiting for my return, you need to anticipate and you need to prepare. And he goes on to expound on this by giving another way to wait for his return, and that is to maintain. Notice he says, keep your lamps burning. That means you have to maintain your life. Be like the men. Be self-controlled. Be sober-minded. And I have found that there are two basic groups that need to maintain. Well, first, there are the ones that just forget. There are those that do not maintain. In his analogy, burning candles, they just let the candle burn all the way down and they don't replace it. Why? Because it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget, using the analogy of the children's sermon, which is a good analogy, that mom and dad are going to return. If mom and dad are gone so long, you start to think, well, then I have all the freedom in the world. So there is a burden for us as believers to continually maintain ourselves, to go back to the candle and keep lighting it. Or when the candle is burned down, to go and replace that candle with another candle. We forget because life sets in. Does it not? Life gets busy. And all of these important things start to settle in our lives. Children, school, sports. And we forget that he is going to return. However, there's another side. There are those that forget to maintain. And there are others that are overzealous. There was a church in the Bible that Paul actually wrote to that fit this category. In the book of Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Listen. But concerning times and seasons, brothers, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now, why is he writing that? It's like a telephone call. We only hear one side. But Paul is addressing a problem in that church. And the problem in the church was there were religious groups that were inventing timetables for Jesus to return. They thought that Jesus was going to return the next day or the next week. And that has been all throughout Christendom, hasn't it? You and I have heard of different religious groups that are setting dates for Jesus to return. You've all heard of this, and every time they set one, they're wrong. And the reason why they're wrong is, well, it's not that complex. All you have to do is read the words of Jesus himself. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in the heaven, but my Father only. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. You see some of that similar language that that Jesus is using here in the parable, and that Paul just used moments ago writing to a church, the idea of the thief coming in the night. And Jesus himself says, look, the angels themselves don't know. The Father knows. So when it comes to this business, I'm not going to overstep my boundaries as a minister of the word and start to predict things or invent things that we simply have no business doing. Our goal is to be ready. Our goal is to maintain the lamps so that they're always burning. So next, as we unfold in this passage, we give a little more instruction. And the next is assurance. Assurance. The Bible says that he will return like a thief in the night. Now, thief in the night needs interpreted for us. It's not that Jesus is going to come back and steal things from people. Remember, a thief comes and takes things that he doesn't own. They're not his. Jesus already owns everything. He's not coming to steal things. The idea isn't the thief stealing things. The idea is that it's sudden. It's the manner in which the thief comes. A thief never knocks at your door and says, hey, I'm going to be coming in and stealing things. Or he doesn't announce it in a letter, tomorrow at 8:02 p.m. when you're at soccer practice, I'm going to come in through your back window. It doesn't happen that way. It's because it's sudden. And that's what Jesus is emphasizing here. Look, the manner in which I will return, you are not going to know. It will be sudden. I'm going to tell a story now that's going to tell on myself back in college. You guys want to hear it? Okay. Why not? You're looking at a guy that was a security guard as a senior in college with my best friend, and we chose one day a week when it was the least busy. Do you want to have any guesses why we chose that? That's right, because there was no work. So we thought, okay, we can become security guards and wear the badge and look really cool if you walk around school, but at the end of the day, we're really not going to be called to do anything because it's Sunday afternoon. It's Bible college. Nobody's out doing anything. So we would start the day, and we realized Sunday after Sunday that there was no real work. I'm not proud of the story, even though I'm smiling because of how silly we were. So Steve and I devised a plan where one of us would alternate. And when I say alternate, that means one of us would go back to the dorm while one of us would go to work. It would just, the scheme we had going, forgetting that the head of security, Paul Schiffer, was a former detective in Atlanta. Now, we were seniors by this time, so Schiff knew us pretty well, and we were actually pretty close. One day, I remember hearing the door crack in the dorm, And when I opened up my eyes, there I saw Paul Schiffer's face and his gigantic mustache staring at me. Unexpected, unannounced. I still passed college. I'm okay. I'm here. It was a lesson. It was a lesson. Do not underestimate the person that could make a return at any moment. Well, friends, you can be assured that Jesus Christ will be returning back to this earth. We do not know when. We don't know how. We have some general ideas in the Bible. But the point is he will return. And there will be judgment. Look, in last week's parable, if you recall, it was the parable of the talents, but done so in the Gospel of Luke. And if you recall, when the master went away, that was the in-between time. And I highlighted two important things that happens when he returns. The first is there will be judgment on the church according to your talents. He will look at the time that you've spent. He will look at the treasures that you have, and he will look at your talents. And you will be judged accordingly. But he also will execute judgment on an unbelieving world that is trying to dethrone him. That is about the in-between time. We are in the in-between time, so we must live for him. We must actively keep the candles burning. Jesus said this, "Do not collect for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but collect for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys them, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." As we reach the conclusion of the parable, Jesus said, "And be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." Every one of us is in the waiting period. Everyone. And when I say everyone, it's more than just this church. The entire planet is in the waiting time. There is a waiting period. And we as believers have instruction on how to wait. So my question for you all is this. Are you waiting well? Are you anticipating? Are you keeping the candles lit? Are you living in the light of Jesus' return? Because you see, Jesus gives two very simple images in this passage. The first, he's portrayed as a master who was welcomed. Remember, his friends are waiting for him to return from the party. They're not scared to open the doors for him. They're happy to have him come back. The master is welcomed. He's let in the door from the wedding. But the second image is different. You see, it's a thief, and this thief is not welcomed, and this thief spells disaster for those people. It's a warning for the unbelieving world that when he returns, there will be judgment. So are you waiting well? How are you doing in the in-between time, in the meantime? Are you keeping your candles lit? Are you living in the light of the second coming? We don't know the day. We don't know the time. But what we do know is that he will return. So friends, as we look at ourselves individually, how are we doing? How are we living? We are the church. We are the redeemed. Are we using our time, our treasure, and our talents to please him? This will cause each one of us, including myself, to look at ourselves, I believe, and to reorganize our loves in a way that's pleasing to him. Amen? Now, friends, as we conclude our service this morning, let us stand and sing hymn number 406, Wonderful Words of Life.